Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. And not just for the music, but the message of song. And I trust that the different messages from every song that is still on your heart and your mind, it's not entertainment that we're looking for, it's ministry, and how God works through the church. The church is the key for God's people. And as you have spiritual needs, and if you come to the church that God has established, every aspect of the church is to help meet spiritual needs as we come out. And one of the things is God's going to use you to be an encouragement to someone else. And we ought to be willing and ready to be used by bringing a smile and a handshake and support. And what a blessing it is just to be assembled together. And then the special music and the congregational music as we sing, it's more than just singing. It is understanding the message of the song and being blessed by that. And then as we open up the Bible and we hear the Bible being taught in Sunday school and preached, and it just all is part of God's plan and how we look forward to it every time we assemble ourselves together. And I trust that you do as well. Psalm chapter 91. The book of Psalms, chapter 91. Just 16 verses. We're going to be reading each verse. Psalms chapter 91. Our prayer and fasting awareness month. And this is somewhat the coming to the end of that. And I trust it has been a help to you, understanding not only prayer, fasting as being that extension of prayer. Prayer is the most important thing, and the fasting is just an extension of that. And so if you would stand with me, if you can, and we'll read the Word of God together. Psalm chapter 91, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, thank you for the privilege it is to be assembled here together. And God, I just pray now that you'd continue to meet with us and help us to sense your presence. I pray, God, that you'd anoint the preaching of thy word at this time. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 15, the Bible says, he is the psalmist here that is talking about, "He shall call upon me, and I, Almighty God, will answer him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." Can I tell you that the main reason for prayer is asking and receiving? Jesus taught in John 14:14 said this, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." In John 16:24, Jesus says, "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, he says, "For everyone that asketh," this idea of asking, "for everyone that asketh receiveth." In Matthew 21, verse 22, it says this, Jesus said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer," understanding that's how we ask is through prayer, "whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." So prayer is very powerful. But biblically based praying is a spiritual act. So many just go through the physical process of praying and they never truly pray to God. Biblically based praying is what we're looking for here. And biblically based praying is a spiritual act. The key to winning spiritual battles is found in our ability to pray, to truly get a hold of God. Throughout human history, faith and prayer have accomplished some great and mighty things. Even in America, I mean, if we look back to all the great wars that America has been involved in, the reason that we have won those wars is due to God. And a people of faith getting hold of a God that's able to do what the psalmist writes about in Psalms chapter 91. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible reveals to us some things concerning Old Testament, great accomplishments by men of faith and the Bible and women of faith. The Bible says here in Hebrews 11, listen to me, in verse 32 it says this, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Their faith in God allowed them to ask and receive." You see, because all these are the Old Testament that the Bible reveals to us in Hebrews' Hall of Faith and all the accomplishments, faith allowed them to ask of God. Faith allowed them to pray and have a relationship and have a fellowship with an almighty God that would answer their prayers and give them the victories that they would experience. Again, as we look back to the history of the United States of America, it goes all the way back. And the battles that we fought that they're on paper, we should not have ever won. But because of a people of faith that said in God we put our trust, amen, that pledged allegiance to the flag saying under one God, who established the fact that they believed in Jesus Christ and wanted to establish a Christian nation that where all people would be have freedom of religion. Because of their faith and through the prayers of these saints and the prayers of our forefathers, they looked to God and God delivered them and God answered their prayers, and some great and mighty things have been accomplished in human history because of prayer. Biblically based praying. Verse 15, he says, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." But it's more than just physically bowing our heads and closing our eyes and saying some words to a God out in somewhere. If there is one, then I ask you to do it. It's more than just the physical act. It is a spiritual act. Yeah. This one that he says, he shall call upon me. Psalms chapter 91, verse 9, it describes him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The first thing that he tells us about this spiritual act, if you ask of me, he shall call upon me and I will answer him, is that he dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God. That means that you spend time with God. You understand who God is, and you do whatever you have to do to come close to him and walk in fellowship with him and to know him. And the Bible says that God is rewarded to all of those who diligently seek him. It's not just somebody that has been told that there's such a thing as prayer, and all you have to do is bow your head, close your eyes, and ask whatever, and it's going to come about, and you're going to get whatever you ask for. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible tells us it's more than that physical act. It's a spiritual act, and it is getting a hold of an Almighty God. And if you get a hold of an Almighty God, you have to know who he is, and you have to, as this psalmist was, you have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and that then you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In the verse 3 it says, and surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowlers and from the noisome pestilence. You'll have your prayers answered, but you first of all here you have to dwell with God. Yeah. It's a spiritual act. God is still looking for those who want to worship him. We have to have a desire not just to have prayers answered. We need to first of all have a desire to know God. Verse 9, he says this, because, the same one that's going to get their prayers answered, he shall call upon me and I will answer. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Now see, if you just look at verse 15, you take that out of context and say, well, I can just call and I can ask God. He's going to deliver. He's going to give me whatever I ask for. That's not what the Bible teaches here. Looking at it in context, this person who calls on the Lord has to, first of all, dwell with God, has to understand who he is and spend time with God. And then you find here that it says, because you have made God your habitation. This habitation is a place of residence. I want to live with God. I want to be aware of him 24/7. And when I have an opportunity to do what we're doing here today, come to the house of the Lord, which is a house of prayer. It's where God has promised that as we have gathered together in his name, he'll meet with us. And we have come to open up his word, to understand his mind and his thinking, and have the word of God preached. That's being at home. That's saying, I want God to be part of my residence, my habitation. Because you've dwelled with the Lord, because you've had a desire to habitate, you've made God your habitation. And then in verse 14, he says this, because, again, this is the reason that you're going to get your prayers answered. He said, because he hath set his love upon me. That's not me, God loving me. God loves you, but that's you loving God. Because he says, therefore will I deliver him. You can't deliver God, but he will deliver you. But you have to love him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Not God knowing your name, he does, but do you know God's name? Loving God and knowing his name. He's not the man upstairs. That's irreverent to even say that. He is an almighty creator God. He is the great I am. He's the only one. He's God the Son. He's God the Holy Spirit. He's in three persons. There's a Trinity of God. Do you know his name? Do you know the Father? Do you know the Son? Do you know the Holy Spirit of God? Do you know who he is? I want my prayers answered. Well, first of all, you have to have a desire to know who he is. You have to love him and love his name. Know his name. Jesus taught in John chapter 14. Let me just read it to you. Write it down, though. I want you to go back and study it later. But John chapter 14, verse 13, he said this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Knowing that there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you understand who he is and you know his name, and you're praying in the name of Jesus Christ, is how God answers prayer today. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments." You have to love me and know who I am. And if you love me, you're going to have a desire to do what I say. Loving God and knowing his name, biblically based praying, is more than just a physical act. It's a spiritual endeavor. In Luke in chapter 11, I do want you to turn there. Look with me to Luke in chapter 11. You want a powerful prayer life? You ought to have, it's available to every believer. Having a powerful prayer life, being able to identify with Psalms chapter 91, is available to every one of us that know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But it's a spiritual endeavor. The disciples whom Jesus was training come to him. Chapter 11 of Luke in verse 1, he says this, "And it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus set an example of the spiritual endeavor of prayer. And they saw the power in that. As he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples," John taught his disciples to pray and how to pray and what to do in prayer. But now they're looking at Jesus Christ and they understand the power of his prayer life. And they said, "We want this." They had a desire to have this kind of a prayer life. And do you have a desire to have the prayer life that God wants you to have? It comes from you. God has already done his part, but are you willing to do what God says you need to do in order to have this kind of a prayer life? And so he teaches them some very important things concerning the spiritual act of prayer. Verse 2, he says, "And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven." Now stop and think about that. Little old puny me gets to have a one-on-one with the creator of the universe. And for the first time that mankind was instructed to call God our Father, Jesus came to represent God the Father and to help us to know that we can go through him and have access to God the Father. And so he tells them, for the first time they're hearing this, and he says, think about it. You want this kind of prayer life, you have to realize that, first of all, that you have a heavenly Father that wants to communicate with you. And when you say, Our Father which art in heaven, that alone ought to just amaze us. You need to just stop there and just think about that as you pray. There's meditation that has, if you're going to have a powerful prayer life, there has to be a mindset of meditation as you pray. That is being aware of who you're praying to and the privilege that he's given to you to have his ear. And I believe that's why Jesus says he's a father and he's in heaven. The creator of all the universe is my papa. I think about how much I love my dad and I respected my dad, and I just look to him for just about everything, for provisions and everything else. He's gone and in heaven today. And I think about that, and I think of Jesus wanted me to know that I have someone just like my earthly father who loves me as much as my earthly father, but he's in heaven. And he's the creator of all things. And I get to talk to him. You see, it's not just bowing your head and say, well, if there is a God somewhere in the universe and you want to hear my prayer, this is what I want. That's not the kind of prayer life that God's going to answer. But when you stop and meditate on who it is that you're talking to, and that you undeservingly have an opportunity to have a conversation with a creator God, it's a spiritual act. So he says, you want to know, this is what I do when I pray. That's what Jesus is saying. I look to my Father. And he's in heaven. And then he says, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Hallowed, regard it as holy. Amen. Reverence and praise a holy God. Is that how we go to the Father in prayer? Do we go to the Father in prayer understanding that His ways are so much better than my ways? His thinking is so much higher than my thinking. I just think I know what I want, but He knows what's best. Who am I to demand anything from God? Who am I to tell God what He ought to do for me or what He ought to do for somebody else? I don't go to God demanding anything. I understand who He is. And I meditated on the fact that my Father in heaven who loves me, and that He is a very holy, almighty, all-knowing, omniscient God. Amen. One of the things that I do as I get in my prayer closet and I want to really get a hold of the hand of God and I'm praying is I always start out by just doing what Jesus said. I acknowledge you. First and foremost is an almighty creator God. I acknowledge you as the great I am. And I acknowledge and I bow down before you as my heavenly Father. And then I acknowledge you as being God the Son, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord. Because if He's my Lord, I've yielded myself to Him. Jesus. And then I acknowledge you as being God, the Holy Spirit. My comforter, He that dwells within me. Now that's got me ready, amen, because now I've just meditated on who God is and I have shown Him the honor and respect due His name. And it does something in preparing me for the rest of my time in prayer. That's what Jesus is getting across. You want this kind of prayer life? You want the kind of prayer life we found in Psalms chapter 91, and you see in me, Jesus saying to His disciples, then do this. Meditate on a Father that's in heaven. Praise and reverence Him. Hallowed be thy name. Understanding His will is what's most important. And then He gives the example of asking. Because main reason for prayer is asking and receiving. He had already taught that. But asking the right things. When you have done the first two, you'll find yourself more apt to ask for the right things. Daily bread. Now he's ready. Give us day by day our daily bread. God, I need you every day. Amen. Not just talking about food here. It's talking about meeting your need. Every day when you wake up, when you get a hold of an almighty God who knows what's ahead of your day, he knows what you're going to experience that day, he knows what you need for that day, he wants to prepare you, but you got to ask him for it. Hey, man, start asking God. First of all, Lord God, I need you. I'm dependent upon you. Amen. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. Give me direction for this day. I need daily bread. I need daily provisions. If he gave you weekly, you'd only go to him once a week. Give him monthly, you'd only go to him once a month. Give him yearly, all you do is annually. Listen to me. God says, I want you every day. I want you every day to depend upon me. Daily bread. And then something that we need every day as well. Forgiveness. Because you understand that the main thing that will hinder you, and we'll be speaking on this a little bit tonight, but the main thing that can hinder you in your prayer, the main thing is sin. Sin separates us from fellowship with God. And God, forgive me. God, reveal it to me. If there's something in my life that's hindering my relationship with you, hindering me from walking close to you today, God, reveal it so that I might confess and forsake it. Because I desire to walk close to you. If we're living in darkness, there's no light. Jesus is in the light. God is in the light. If you're living in darkness, you don't have a relationship with God. You do not have fellowship with the Lord. And so on a regular basis, we have to keep our hearts and our minds cleansed of unrighteousness. We have to keep our hearts and our minds cleansed of sin. And the way that we keep ourselves cleansed from sin is every day. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a spiritual act of prayer. This is what he's teaching them. He said, now that you're ready to ask for this idea of daily bread. And when you have your needs met, praise the Lord for that. That does something for us every day of our lives. When we are asking for forgiveness and we know that we have fellowship with God, that'll do something for you every day of your life. And then he asked for leading us and delivering us. Once you've spent time alone with God and you've prayed that kind of prayer, listen to me, that'll change your life and those around you. Yeah. It's more than a physical act. And we receive more than just answers to that prayer. Go back with me and we look back in Psalms chapter 91, just almost finished here. I want you to follow with me. We receive answer to prayer because once we've got to that place, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Once you understand the spiritual act of prayer and you put yourself in that place and you're praying as God would have you to pray, listen to me, God will answer your prayer, but you'll receive more than just what you've asked for. We'll receive more than answers. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a constant reminder of his presence. You know what having a constant reminder of God's, your Heavenly Father's presence will do for you? It'll help you to do right. As a boy, young boy growing up, I used to get in a lot of trouble. As far as I can remember, I never got in trouble when I was in the presence of my father. Because if I knew he was there, I wouldn't do what I shouldn't do. I got in trouble when he was at work. And I was out with the other kids. And I was out to where I had to make my own decisions. And I could do whatever I want at that time. That's when I got in trouble. I would do things that I thought that I could get by with, I could hide, and somehow or other, he would always find out. But as long as he was in my presence, I did right. If you are dwelling in the presence of the Lord and you're aware of his presence, it might help you to do right. So if I have the kind of prayer life that God wants me to have, I'm always aware of his presence. I'm dwelling in his presence. I'm aware of making it my habitation. If I truly am aware of his presence, then that's going to change my thinking on what I'm going to get by with. Not that I will still have a desire to do certain things I shouldn't do, but I don't want to have to pay the consequences of those sins, and I will make the right decisions. That's just an extra blessing of having the right kind of prayer life. Help me to do right. Verse 2, it says, I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Verse 5, it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 11, he says this, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. If I have that kind of awareness of God and what he's doing in my life, it'll bring me joy. Knowing these things, knowing that my prayers motivate angels, and there are guardian angels, there are angels that I can't see with the naked eye, but that are at work and doing what God promises that he'll do for us, if I have that kind of prayer life. Being aware that my prayer life can motivate angels. And there's angels all around. It just gets me to smile. Amen. If you're just aware, it'll cause you to have joy. Every day, it brings joy to know that I have the kind of prayer life that God wants me to have. And then lastly, not only will it bring me joy, but it'll give me peace of mind. If you're walking with God and you have the kind of prayer life that God wants you to have, then in verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, the trap that I don't even know that's there, but God knows it's there. He's going to deliver me from that. He's going to keep my car on the road instead of out in the ditch. That's what it's talking about there. And the fowler from the noise and pestilence. Verse 5, it says, thou shalt not be afraid. If I truly am aware of an almighty creator God that's watching over me, that has guardian angels around me, how could you worry? When you know that you can do something that's far better than worry, and that is have faith and pray about it. And once you prayed about it, know that God's answering that prayer takes the pressure off of anything else you have to do. Unless there is something else you can do, and then God will direct you to do that. But I guarantee you, he will never direct you to worry. Yeah. Joy. And then lastly, he shall call upon me. When I call, he's never busy. When I call, he always has time. When I call, he's always available. It's not a recording. He shall, if you meet these qualifications, he shall call upon me, and I will. Almighty God promises, I will. Answer him. the one that has that kind of prayer life. We are never where God cannot hear. We are never where we cannot pray, and we are never where God cannot hear. No matter what kind of situation, in my life there's been a lot of situations where I could have died, and I remember in every situation, literally, where I possibly should have died in different accidents, different things, I remember when I seen the danger, in my heart and my mind, I cried out, God, help me. And God delivered me. I'm still here. Amen. But multiple times, especially when I was running from God, because God allowed that to happen to draw me back to Him. But even when I was running from God, I still was aware of who God was. And when I faced the valley of the shadow of death, and I was right on death's door, my thoughts went back to God. Deliver me. We're never where God, where we cannot pray, or where God cannot hear. The problem for so many is they don't ask. And they don't ask because they have no faith to believe it'll make a difference. Spiritual prayer. Biblically based spiritual prayer will make a difference. Amen. Psalms 91, it's all about biblically based spiritual prayer. And God will answer as we ask. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Prayer. Powerful, powerful tool that so many believers don't fully understand. It's not just a physical act. It is spiritual. Do you want it? You can have it. Follow what Jesus taught His disciples, and you can have that spiritual prayer life that God has for every believer. First of all, this morning, you have to know Him. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You can't know God without, first of all, going through the blood of Jesus Christ and knowing Him as Savior. You can't know that, and you don't have an indwelling Holy Spirit, which is God in you, unless you have received Jesus Christ. You have no access to God the Father. If you're here this morning and you don't have a prayer life and you've been going through the act of praying with no results, it could be you don't know God. Come to this altar this morning. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know that you know God. Father, we bow before You now. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray that You'd help us, each and every one, to search our souls and make decisions that You'd have us to make right now. In Jesus' name, amen.